Good. Yes. What a great testimony. Super. Now, if you like, you can fill these out, put them in the offering plate, and we can use them next week. Okay? That's thinking ahead. So pick one up next Sunday when you come in, fill it out, or drop it in the offering plate. We'll save them up for next week. And with no further ado, I'd like to invite the Winnegars and their exciting mission work with Wycliffe Bible Translators. There you go. Welcome.
Well, we're looking forward to being cheering with you this morning. It's been such a blessing to be here. If my voice goes away, we were with some folks last night, and we laughed for like 4 hours and sharing and stories, and it was such a blessing to get reacquainted with some of the folks, and this morning being a part of Sunday school was a true blessing indeed, looking at, you know, what God is doing for us and our depravity as a culture and so forth, and how God has shown such mercy to each one of us, and we gotta need to keep in mind and be thankful in our hearts each day for what God has given. So again, good morning. We are Mont and Shannon Winnegar. We serve with Wycliffe Bible Translators.
That's right. It's only
been we've been with Wycliffe for about 15 and a half years or so. It's such a blessing to be back here and seeing many of you, many faces and many new faces. We live in West Lafayette, Indiana, just down the street from our sons Zach and Hannah. The reason we did that is because, we returned from the mission field, and my son said, "Dad, there's a house 3 doors down from us." Really? And so we actually kept our house here in Oregon rented, and so we bought a house out there, and the rent from this house has been paying for that. And then my son kept having children, him and his wife. My son's not, his wife has. Yeah, and so, we have 3 grandchildren. Theo, who's 4, and Cardia, who's 2, and Teleos, who's only 7 months. And my son works in the medical field, and his wife does too. His wife's a critical care nurse, and my son actually works in a GI center, not military, but GI, if you know what I mean. If you've been in for one of those scopes, you know all about it. So
colonoscopy.
Thank you, dear. And endoscopes. So that's the story of our family. We also have a daughter, Hannah Marie, who's presently home from college, and she's taking a break a year. She's going back here. Please be with and pray for her as she's discerning what her next steps are. We want to thank you also for keeping up with us for our monthly updates and praying for our work. And again, we're excited to be here in person to share a little bit more about how God is on the move. There's a table back in the back. I'll probably remind again that the big yellow tablecloth that Pam put there, it's like can't miss it. So if you'd like to come back and sign up for our newsletter, we'd love to keep you updated. To let you know, we do a mail out once a month. It's more of a prayer update email, but our mail out one doesn't happen but every 3 or 4 months. But if you'd like to be a part of that, either way, we'd love to you to receive that and stay connected. And please, please, please contact us. We'd love to pray and stay connected with you. So, but first, I want to share a little about our heart motivation for what we do. That everyone should have the opportunity to hear the good news of the gospel in a language and format they understand. Arthur C.J. Mahaney put it this way: the gospel isn't one class among many that you attend during your life as a Christian. The gospel is the whole building the class takes place in. Russ will have to write that one down. Russ. We know that Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that God created all things in the universe. Also, God's purpose to humanity is to be in worshipful, intimate relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. However, we also know that Adam and Eve, lured by a serpent's temptation for personal power, gain, glory, made a selfish, disobedient choice, didn't they? And broke that relationship with God. We all have that same sin nature, don't we? Even the Apostle Paul wrestled with sin. It says in Romans 7:23, "But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." But the apostle also found hope in knowing, as it says in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. Jesus, God's Son, came to earth, lived a sinless life, willingly subjected himself to torture and shame, and gave his life on a cross for our sins. Then he defeated sin and death by rising again. We can be in right relationship with God now and for eternity. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:1, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever the future brings, I can rest upon the promise of eternal life. I want everyone to know that death no longer has any sting for those in Christ. I encourage you to preach the gospel to everyone daily, using the verses and other verses." These verses, other verses. Yeah. I have a book I've already given out at the last place. I should have brought a lot more, but it's called The Gospel Primer. And a gospel primer, it's by Milton Vincent. And this book is all about the gospel. It's a short read every day, and it just focuses you in on the gospel. So I would encourage you. I'll put it back there. You can take a look at it. I don't have any more copies. Next time around, we'll bring lots of copies so we can give away. So, that's a really good book. I use that book daily as kind of the foundation. I pray through it, and then I go into my Bible reading. And this year, I'm trying to get through the Bible in a year. Haven't only done it once in my life, but working on it. So I'd like to go on. What a privilege we have to read and understand the verses, and especially about the gospel. Do we take this for granted? We have a video.
We've become accustomed to a world where all our needs are met, where nearly everything we could ever want is literally at our fingertips. Food, water, shelter, clothing. We take some things for granted. For us, they've always been there. But what if we didn't have these things? How would it affect our daily lives? It's the same with the Bible. It's our guiding light, showing us the only way to live in a right relationship with God. But what if it wasn't there? What would our lives be like without the Bible? For millions of people in the world, this is still their daily reality. There's not a single word of scripture translated into a language they can clearly understand. That's why Wycliffe exists. At this moment, all around the world, we're working with local churches and communities to speed the light of truth to people still waiting. Because when people get the Bible in their language, they can know the life-giving truth of the good news. They can fully grasp who God is and what Jesus has done for them. They can experience the hope and transformation of God's Word. It's a movement of global proportions, and we won't stop until every person on the planet can access the Bible in a language and format they can clearly understand.
So Wycliffe started this journey of Bible translation over 80 years ago. Been doing this for the organization has been doing this for a while, and this slide is just a reminder. We look at it very often. What is our vision and mission? Our vision is for people from every language to understand the Bible and be transformed. And our mission is to serve with the global body of Christ to advance Bible translation and work together so people can encounter God through His Word. And that's really the key. The key is God's Word. We believe that an accurate, clear, and natural translation of the Bible in an accessible format is what leads to life-changing relationship with God through the Scriptures. So what does that actually mean, all those words? Accurate, clear, and natural means a Bible translation that communicates the original intended meaning of a passage of Scripture that also flows in a way in which people would naturally communicate. For example, most people today might find it difficult to understand a very, very old version of the Bible in English. But they might prefer something like the NIV or the ESV or even the New Living Translation. Is that really loud? It's good? Okay. No, I just wanted to make sure. Can you hear me okay? All right.
I can hear you just fine.
Well, that's good. You need to hear me. Sorry. Yeah, so it's important that anyway that it flows naturally and that people can comprehend, can understand what they're reading. And then there's the aspect of an accessible format. What do you see up there? Mostly you see books, but you also see someone doing sign language, and I don't think it has an Audi Bible, but your auditory scriptures are also really very important. So you might have the written form, you might have an audio recording, you might have a visual presentation, like the Jesus film or sign language video. So obviously, understanding the Bible is critical for people to know God and be transformed into followers of Christ. And Bible translation is what makes it possible for all language communities to encounter the fullness of God within their own culture and context. So we approach that mission with passion, because people are lost without the hope of the gospel. Mm-hmm. So next slide, we're gonna give you a little bit of a history lesson. It's been a while, maybe, since we've been here and talked about Vision 2025. So just a quick review as far as what it was. Back in 1999, Wycliffe USA and our primary Bible translation partner, SIL, adopted what could only be called a God-sized goal of starting a Bible translation in every language that still needed one by the year 2025. And we're getting close, aren't we? Back then, in 99, they thought that there would be about 3,000 language translations to start in that 25-year period of time. And at that time, they were starting a new translation about every 2 weeks, a couple a month. And that seemed pretty overwhelming even then to start 3,000 in 25 years. That felt like a real leap of faith, like a God-sized goal, like I said. And one of the things that Wycliffe and our partners have always relied on is prayer, because prayer accomplishes great things, right? When we join God and we communicate with God, and then we get to stand back and watch what he is doing. We have a video to show you that we just want to encourage you about the results of that we have seen when people like you pray.
Prayer, it's the act of talking with God. We have lots of conversations with people every day, but prayer is a conversation with our Creator. It can be difficult and feel one-sided. Sometimes we wonder if our prayers are being heard or if they have any effect. At Wycliffe, we believe prayer is absolutely essential, having a tangible impact on Bible translation. Here are a couple of examples. Sam was 5 years old when he and his family began praying for people who speak the Rapa Nui language of Easter Island. The Rapa Nui didn't have a Bible in their language, and at that time, translators hadn't come to help. Sam decided to pray, asking God to send a translation team. One day, Sam's family got a letter from their friend on staff with Wycliffe. He told them someone had just been assigned to work on the Rapa Nui language of Easter Island. This surprised Sam's family, because they had not told him about Sam's prayers for them. Sam later got a letter from the translation team on Easter Island. They said their interest in Easter Island had started at the time he began praying. Sometimes we see God answer prayers quickly, but other times, tangible results come much later. In November 1983, David and Ray began praying that the Juni people of Sudan, a community with over 40,000 people, would receive the Bible in their own language. In May 1986, Jerry and Jan started praying, and in March 1990, Jane and Margie did too. Time passed. Finally, in August 1990, there was some exciting news. It turns out that the same month David and Ray started to pray, a young Juni man became a Christian. In May 1986, this man was accepted into a program for theological studies, the same time Jerry and Jan began to pray. He later applied to study linguistics and translation so that he could translate God's word for his people. And in March 1990, the year Jane and Margie began to pray, he was accepted as a Bible translation student. Today, over 30 years after people started praying for the Juni by name, a completed New Testament is in their language. Our prayers really do matter, whether results take a long time or happen right away. Whether we hear about how God answers our prayers or not, they can impact thousands of people who are still in need of God's word in their language today. Prayer is a conversation that matters, far more than we could ever imagine. Let's start that conversation together.
Oh, what God does in the power of prayer, right? We've seen even more answer to prayer in the ownership of language projects lately, especially in the last few years. In the traditional model that was going on in 1999, identifying a language that needed to be translated and starting that project was often led by Wycliffe or by SIL or by one of our partners. But now, that has recently been changing. This slide shows you how the rate of engagement has been increasing in recent years. Because today, the local church is raising up and asking for, and sometimes even starting, their own Bible translations themselves. And they don't want to wait for the work to start. They want to start it now. And Wycliffe's role has changed. We are now coming alongside in partnership, providing resources, training, mentorship. God is moving faster than we have ever seen before in the entire history of Bible translation, because local believers are taking more ownership. A new language project is started at the rate of about one every 17 hours. It's amazing. And currently, Wycliffe is engaged with over 1,700 languages. Okay, so there's a lot of numbers up there, and that slide might seem a little overwhelming. So let me explain. Remember how I talked about Vision 2025, and they thought there were 3,000 languages left to start then. Well, a lot of research has happened since then, and many more languages have actually been added to the needs list. In fact, that number in the middle in the yellow, we now know that there are at least 7,300 languages in the world, both spoken and signed languages. 380 of those are sign languages that have been identified. Originally, we didn't even include any sign languages in our estimations, but now we know that the global deaf actually represent the largest mission field in the world. Only about 2% of deaf people claim to follow Christ, to be Christians. And the majority, the vast majority of deaf people have never heard the gospel. So it's very exciting when we see people getting excited about translating scripture into a format that they will understand. And even though there are a lot more needs, 7,300 is a lot bigger, we've also seen God doing some amazing things through the leaps of technology that are happening in the world today. And when you combine that with worldwide connectivity, you can go to the furthest reaches of the world and see someone living in their bamboo hut with a cell phone. With that, it has incredibly sped up the work of translation. So when we look at these numbers, most of these numbers are a praise. These are an opportunity for us to praise God for what he has done and what he is doing. The 740 on the right there, there are more than 740 languages that actually have a full, complete Bible. Wonderful. On the left-hand side of that, at least 1,690 languages have a complete New Testament. Now, we also know that we don't want to wait to get scripture into people's hands. So when a translation team completes a section of scripture and it has been checked for accuracy, the goal is to get it into the hands of the community as soon as possible. So the top right over there, at least 1,265 languages have some portions of scripture. 65 of those are sign languages.
This is of April 1st.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that. Don't steal my thunder. Don't steal my thunder. The last number that we have to talk about on the top left there, more than 1,216 languages are still waiting. They don't have anything started yet. But we still include that, we still include that as a praise to God, because that number is continually shrinking so fast. It's amazing. Next slide. So let's take a break from the numbers for a minute. Sometimes numbers can feel a little overwhelming, but they represent changed lives, right? And they represent changed communities, because that's what happens when they get God's word. So I want to tell you a personal story that helps me understand the statistics better. I want to share with you about Fabian. When army rebels attacked Fabian's village, they burned everything to the ground. They killed many of his neighbors. Fabian and his family were forced to flee to Bangui, which is the capital city of the Central African Republic. They are living there with thousands of others in a refugee camp. And for Fabian, the words of the Bible were foreign, remote. They had no influence in his life. Pastors had always taught in the national language, which most people have difficulty understanding. But as Fabian read the Gospel of Matthew in his language, Lutos, he began to understand for the very first time what Christ had done for him, and it changed him completely. Here's a quote. While reading the translated text in my heart language, says Fabian, I was deeply touched. My heart has broken, but I'm now turning my heart to my Creator for comfort. Fabian has committed himself to Christ, and he's now helping young people understand the Lutos scriptures and come to know the Lord, who is their only true hope. And Fabian longs for the days when the entire New Testament will be available in his language for his people. So here's a map of the world today. And it's broken down, it's color-coded by the remaining languages that still need a language project to start. And we are praising God for that top number there, 83 regions where no one is left waiting. You can also see a lot of the other areas are getting close. The purple regions, those are the regions where, and there's 30 of them, where there are six or more languages left to start. And then we highlight the four hot spots, the four highest need areas in the world are China, Nigeria, Indonesia, and Papua New Guinea, where we were. And on the bottom of the slide there, you can see there's a website. It's wycliffe.org/vision2025. And you can go there and keep updated with the progress. As Mont said, these statistics were just updated April 1st. It's almost too difficult to put things in print because they're changing so fast, praise God. So our website is updated every 3 months, every quarter. And I do want to remind you, and I remind ourselves too, to keep faithful in praying, because Vision 2025 is a starting project. It is a starting goal to see every language project started by 2025. So we want to stay faithful praying toward the day when everyone has full access to a complete Bible in a language and format that they understand.
Amen. So, you may be wondering what we do to support Bible translation. You know, we originally came here and we were talking many years ago. Well, we were boarding home parents in Papua New Guinea. Many of you remember that. But now we work in the area of Bible translation in recruitment. We serve as recruiters to fill strategic priority positions that our partners need in order to advance Bible translation. We work with a pool of potential recruits at various levels of readiness. While we work with many different roles, my specialty focuses on managers and professionals. Shannon is my administrative assistant, prayer support, advisor, and she's a darn good cook too. The majority of my pool of candidates comes to me from our lead acquisition department, who gather the content information from people interested in missions with Wycliffe. I interview these potential ministry candidates. We evaluate and see if they are a fit for Wycliffe and if Wycliffe is a fit for them. I enjoy hearing their testimonies and taking deep dives in how God has equipped them and what challenges they face. We are often encouraged by their passion for missions. We often have a mentoring role with candidates who move forward. Together, we examine and discern which potential role God wants them to serve in. We also focus on building capacity in them, which potentially leads to longevity of service. We prayerfully journey together with them until they reach the point of application with Wycliffe. After that, we stay in touch, receive their newsletters, and occasionally reach out to them to see how they're doing. Matter of fact, on the way down here, way up here, we passed Albany, and one of our recruits is from Albany, and he's in Papua New Guinea, and I took a quick shot of the exit, and I said, "Hey, Kirk, just praying for you, buddy." And he laughed. He said, "Thanks." So we want people who are excited to be part. Are we on that one? What? Oh, yeah, I got to do that part too. Yeah. There is a growing need for more professionals and managers, for example. With so many translations starting so quickly, project managers is one of our most critical needs. when I'm looking for someone to be part of God's global mission, it's about so much more than just a person training, person's training or skill set. We find people who are deeply rooted in their faith and excited about joining God where he's at work at. And I want to say a side note with that. When I interview people, I literally spend the first hour with them just seeing how engaged they are in their faith. And, see if they have an active, growing faith. That's key to serving with the Lord. We want people who are excited to be part of our global, diverse staff. People who face challenges with relentless skill, determination, and creativity. United in their beliefs and excited about moving Bible translation forward. We are looking for people who dare to be curious, are courageous, flexible enough to embrace humility and generosity, eager to work open-handedly as a team for something bigger than themselves. Let's reflect on the phrase for a moment, as a team for something bigger than ourselves. You and I are part of that team. A global movement of God, working to provide everyone access to God's Word. It seems a bit crazy from the world's standpoint, loving and serving people we never met halfway around the world. But that's exactly like Jesus, isn't it? The gospel changes each of us when we trust in Jesus for salvation. We enter into a relationship with God that remakes us. And God calls us into a relationship with each other, forgiving us his love for one another. John 13:35 states, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The fact that we care about people on the other side of the globe and that we work together, work toward those strangers becoming a part of this family of God, this sets us apart as Christ's disciples, doesn't it? The role of the global church, the local church, and the missionary are intertwined by God to bring the good news of salvation to all people everywhere. We are all called to this work, and none of us can do it alone. When you support missions, you are the ones holding the rope as others climb down the cliff toward something else, someone else in need. You are providing spiritual, emotional, and financial support throughout their journey of ministry. Many of you have done this for us. We are so thankful for your prayers and financial support, for you taking the time to read our newsletter and even send back a quick sentence of encouragement. And we appreciate it too if you'd like to sign up again. We'd love to be in contact with you and pray for you. And we are so thankful for the cards, for the sharing of wisdom, and especially when we hit challenges. As you know, I've gone through two bouts of cancer since we've been here. I was just about ready to have my prostate removed, and that didn't take, and I went through 39 treatments of radiation and after that. So we appreciate your prayers during that time. Many people reached out and said and talked about their stories as well. So we want to thank you. Maybe you felt God moving in you today. When God nudges, it is so important that you respond. So I encourage you to take action. If God is speaking to you to turn and trust Jesus for salvation from sin, please talk to someone. You can talk to us, Pastor Russ, one of the deacons, how you can receive eternal life in Christ. God might be calling you to serve the Bible translation movement or other missions. I'd be happy to connect you with someone who can answer your specific questions. Or if God is calling you to serve in local ministry, please talk to Pastor Russ or a deacon about that. They'll help you plug in. Might have some needs right here in your own church. God may be asking you to commit to regular prayer for missions or Bible translation. You can pray for Bibleless people. You saw a video on that, who are waiting for their work, for those working on translation. You can pray for our ministry of recruitment or one of your other ministries. Yes.
On the back table, we actually have some great little prayer guides called the Finish Line. Feel free to grab one of those. Those are languages that are very, very close, a year or less, to publishing. And there's a lot of spiritual warfare. They need a lot of prayer support.
You can pray for other missionaries. We can connect you with prayer resources, as Shannon mentioned. God may be asking you to give some of your resources he's given you to support missions in other areas as well. If you'd like to be a partner with our Wycliffe ministry, we have information about that as well in the back. We'd like to stay informed about, if you'd like to stay informed about our ministry, please sign up, as we mentioned, with our newsletter. It says in Romans 15:13, it is our prayer for you. Now may the God of our hope fill you with joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you ponder these words, and may God speak to you about how you can further God's kingdom in your family, your community, and your world. Thank you so much for having us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, you did. It's a good thing our church is patient. Patient. They're patient with me so much. We're going to head to a time of communion. And so we're going to open this table. And you're welcome to come and get the juice and the bread. They're in a single cup here, so you have bread and juice. But first, we're going to sing a song that talks about God's Word. It's called Ancient Words. The first time that Mont and Shannon were with us, about a dozen years ago, they introduced this song to us. And so we're going to sing it in preparation for communion and how the Word of God needs to go out. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He's the bread that's come down from heaven. And man does not live by bread alone, but on every word. Think about that. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so we're going to do that. Also, if you need to make a faith promise pledge, we have faith promise pledge cards up here. You may take one, fill it out, and we're going to add that to our faith promise total. All right? So let me pray, and then I'll have our worship team come up. We'll sing Ancient Words, and we'll head into communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that goes out and will not return void. Thank you for your word that's perfect. It's without error. Your word which is true. Your word which is profitable for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thank you for the good news of the gospel and how you use your word to proclaim it. We pray your gospel could be proclaimed in more languages and in more nations and more places than ever before. And like you said, your word would be, this good news would be proclaimed among all nations, and then the end will come. So we honor you for speaking a good word to us today. Now, Lord, may we examine ourselves as we come to this holy time of communion. May we consider our oneness with Jesus and our oneness with one another, and make our hearts glad as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about the words in this song. Ancient words. Long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope, give us strength. In this world where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us to sacrifice. Oh, let the faithful words of life. Words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Everybody get an element? Okay. We read in 1 Corinthians the words of the Apostle Paul, where he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now, before we partake, I want to take a moment and say, what are we thankful for? Jesus gave thanks, and he says, do this in remembrance of him. What are you thankful for today? I'm thankful for you guys. What else? The Word of God. What are you thankful for? His creation. What are you thankful for? What's that? Included me. Yes, really thankful. Yes, his heart. For missionaries. Helping and spreading the word. Good. Yes.
Next breath.
Our next breath. Thankful for that. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today. We're thankful for how you've saved us. You've called us. You've blessed us. You've called us your own. We're your own dear children. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Thank you for this bread of life. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you," meaning we as God's people, "we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." That's the declaration of the gospel, the Lord's death for us. The good news is that Jesus came. He lived a life that we should have lived, and he died a death that we should have died, that in his life, in his resurrection, we may have new life in him. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's the good news. And more people are getting that good news around the world. And so let's proclaim his death together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good news. May we be faithful servants and proclaim it in our neighborhoods, to our neighbors. May we proclaim it to people that we see at the store, at the gas station, at the theater, at the parks, wherever we go. Lord, may we live this good news, loving others, and proclaim the good news, and so loving you. Thanks for your word that does not return void. And Lord, we just say, we love you. Amen. Let me invite you to stand as we sing together, "God is so good." God is good, right?
Amen.
All the time?
God is
good. Yeah. All right. Here we go.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He answers prayer.
Yes, he does.
He answers prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
So good to me. He cares for me. He cares for me.
Don't forget it.
He cares for me. He's so good to me.
To him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I love you, church. Have a good day. Have a great week. And share the good news of Jesus with someone.